Amen. What a blessing. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. We continue our study in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 16. Nehemiah 4 and verse 16. We have moved away from verses 7 through 12. It took us, it's been quite a while through that passage, but last week, 13 through 15, tonight, 16 through 18 of Nehemiah chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 16, "And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me." Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for the good spirit, and we need you now to speak to our hearts through your word, and I pray you will in Jesus' name. Amen. As a review, verses 13 through 15, last week we talked about how the enemy was assembling, and with all their, they of course started the rumors and talked of how they were going to knock down the wall, and they were all assembling outside the wall and making their threats still, and the threats all made it in, of course, and trying to get the people to be afraid and trying to get them to maybe surrender or just give up or lose heart or whatever. And I preached last week about resistance and how that Nehemiah put the people up on the wall with their weapons, and the weapons and the people there on the wall and in front of, or on top of the wall and behind the wall, and with those weapons glistening in the sunlight. The enemy, I believe, saw the force that was on the wall and the resistance that was there. And the enemy changed their mind. And the Bible says in verse 15, So we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. And the Bible very clearly tells us, resist the devil and he will flee. And our problem is that we many times are fearful because his roar scares us. And instead of resisting, we cower. Instead of resisting, we run. Instead of resisting, we quit. And so, obviously here, we see that the resistance worked. The group that was assembled outside the wall disbanded for a time. And Nehemiah then was able to lead the people to get back to work. Which, by the way, that is what their purpose was to build and do the work that God had led them to do. And so, here in Nehemiah 4, verses 16 to 18, we go on and very clearly we see that Nehemiah, they get back to work. And Nehemiah, in verse 16, a half of the servants wrought in the work. The other half held, they kept those spears and the shields. They kept everything out there so the enemy could see it. They perhaps grabbed the weapon from another man who's going to take a shovel and start working. And they held that weapon up, and the enemy, just in case, by the way, the devil never quits. All right, he may flee for a while, but he'll be back. And I love it because half of them kept working, and the other half, they stayed there with the weapons and held them up there. And the Bible says that it was as if they were holding a weapon in one hand and a trowel in another hand, or an article of work. And that's exactly how they did the work. But you'll notice, the Bible says that verse 18, the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side. They were all ready. I mean, they were ready for an attack. They were ready in case the enemy tried to assemble again. But it says in verse 18, he that sounded the trumpet was by me. I want to talk to you tonight about building, battling, and bearing burdens. Building, battling, and bearing burdens as we explain this passage. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus in Luke 19, He told a parable for the disciples and spoke a parable, and he used the words occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. That means literally means to set up business. Set up a business. And it's more than just work, as anyone who operates or works in a business understands. You know, it's more than just doing the work. In the parable, he says, take what I've given you, which in that case was a pound, and he said, set up a business and literally make money, make that pound work. All right? And he said, I want you to occupy, I want you to set up a business till I come back. When I come back, I'm going to see what you did with what I gave you. Now, that would require organization, that would require structure, that would require, obviously, work. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's work is more important than any secular business. It is more important than any kind of business that is out there. God's business is crucial. And in a secular business, there would be more than just sales. There would be more than just shipping. There would be more than just billing. There would be all those things, plus all the other things involved in a business. And you have to do all those different things. All of them are crucial. If the business is going to be successful, if we are to occupy till Jesus comes, we're going to have to get a balance in our business. We're going to have to get a balance in our ministries. We're going to have the balance, just like we see here with Nehemiah, a balance like building, battling, and bearing burdens. All of them are crucial. In this passage, we see those things very clearly. Building, battling, and bearing burdens. Now, I'll be honest with you, as I was studying this, I was getting tired. I mean, it really wore me out. But you know what? Business does wear you out. Doing the Lord's work does wear you out. It should wear us out. Amen. We should be very busy so that we are wore out by the end of the day. And this message made me very tired. Verse 16 follows what we talked about. The enemy was assembled, and then apparently the enemy broke up so that the people could go back to the wall and go back to the work. Nehemiah resisted, the enemy retreated, and then he says in verse 16, it came to pass from that time forth. And from that time forth, he said, lest the enemies repeat their effort, because they will. Do you understand? You went to victory. Teens, you went to camp. You won victories. You had great decisions. Several of you said that you made a decision that you knew you should have made before. Amen. But you made the decision. Guess what? He's not going to just say, oh, I can't believe they made that decision and just leave you alone. He is going to be right there, ready to fight, ready to attack again. They will repeat their attack. No question about that. And you know what? The devil's always probing and looking for a weakness. Amen. That's why all three of these things are crucial. That's why building, battling, and bearing burdens. We see it right here in this passage of Scripture. Verse 16, they're battling. Verse 17, they're building. And also verse 17, they're bearing burdens. You see it right there very clearly. All three are crucial. It's interesting, there's three things. And it's not just because of my outline. There are three things because it's right here in the passage. But Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. By the way, we see it with the home, the church, the school. We'll not get into all that right now. But that threefold cord is not quickly broken. You got to have all three. You have to have the building. You have to have the battling. You have to have the bearing burdens. If you don't have all three, you're unbalanced. You're probably going to lose. If you don't have all three, you're unbalanced. The wall's not going to get built. And if it does get built, it's going to get knocked down. If you don't have all three, you're going to be unbalanced. It's not God's will. You have not set up a good business. You got to have a balance. And so I want to talk to you about that. Let me just give you something to think about. If they just battle only, all right, they decide, you know, we're just going to battle only. We're just going to stay on the wall. We ended with that last week. And we saw the assembly of God's people lined up across that wall. We saw the weapons glistening in the sunlight. We saw what that had to have looked like to the enemy on the outside. And the enemy said, uh-oh, they're resisting. We won't attack now. And you know, Nehemiah could have just said, okay, we'll just stay here. But guess what? the work doesn't get done. You can't just always battle. You say, I like battling. I like swords and spears and all that. And you know, that's all fine. But if you battle only, you just stay on the wall and you never build the wall. You don't finish the job. If you build only, okay, let's just say they finally say, look, we got to build this wall. Let's lay the weapons down. Let's just do the building. And if they decided to build only, the enemy would overcome them and take over what was built. By the way, there's churches all across America just like that.
Yes, sir.
Then, if you say, well, we'll just bear burdens only. And we know that that Judah, they were the bearers of burdens. They were cleaning up all the mess, and they were cleaning out everything and what was left over from the previous wall that had been knocked down. And if you bear burdens only, if you just constantly are cleaning up the mess, trying to help people, trying to encourage people, you know what? It won't be long, and first of all, you won't ever build anything, and second of all, the enemy will, you'll just clean up the mess so the enemy can build their own walls on it. You have to have all three. All three are crucial. You must have a balance, and that's what Nehemiah saw, and the church is the very same thing. You have to have a balance. You must have the building, the battling, and the bearing burdens, and if we get out of whack on that, something lacks. Something lacks, just like you can see it with Nehemiah here. You can, in your mind, imagine if one, they just did one of these things, they're not going to get the wall built. And if they do get the wall built, it's going to be owned by somebody else before long. Let's just analyze each thing here real quick. Number one is the building. Building. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3. And I realize we've looked at building to some extent here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 The Bible says, but, let's see, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Talking about building, talking about our own lives, being a building, and the foundation being Jesus, and we are to build on that foundation. In other words, we're to grow. Our very life is proof of building, and how God wants us to grow, and how God wants us to mature, and we already talked about that in Hebrews 6. It says, "Let us," or Hebrews 11. It says, "Let us go on." We're not supposed to stay where we are. Look at Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. The Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up." Notice the words there. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Notice the building that is taking place here. And it's because we have been taught. Building is teaching. We're being taught the Word of God. We're growing because we're learning the Word of God, and we're growing because of that. Go to Matthew 28, verse 19. Great Commission. Matthew 28 and verse 19. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach." You see it? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Well, obviously here, we're going to teach them how to be saved. We're going to be soul winners. We're going to tell them and teach them what the Bible says as to how they can be saved and go to heaven. Because then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We only do that for people who get saved. And we're going to preach, and we're going to teach, and we're going to tell them, and we're going to knock on doors, and we're going to give out tracts, and we're going to tell them how they can be saved. But notice what else it says in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, teaching them to observe. There must be that building going on in a person's life, teaching them to observe. Not just because it's part of our business and our occupying till He comes, but because God said to do that. There has to be teaching. There has to be building. There has to be, great, you have the foundation. Now let's build something on that foundation. There has to be that. Building. Discipleship. Telling people how to be saved. Going out into all the world. Teaching them. Telling them how to be saved. Getting them saved. Baptizing them. And then teaching them. Teaching them. Disciple. Building. That's building. That's building. Building your life. Building others' lives. By the way, that kind of building leads to programs. And as we're trying to start a Spanish ministry, and it leads to facilities, and it's building. And that has to take place in a business. It has to take place in God's business. Building people, building lives, training people. Amen. You know, I think about these walls of separation that they're building, the walls they're building in Nehemiah. But you know, the walls of separation in our lives need to be Bible-based conviction in our lives, or they are just brick and mortar, and you'd never be willing to defend them. Right. You hear what I just said? Seriously, you need to listen to what I just said. Right. If we're not building people, in other words, okay, why did we build that wall? We built that wall because God said this. Oh, okay. We built that wall. We made that decision. I went to the altar. I made that decision because God said this. I did not make that decision because so-and-so told me to or because I watched another person go forward. I made that decision because God told me in His Word. I saw it for myself and I made that decision and I believe it. And I'll defend it. And I will stand on that wall and I will hold up my weapon and I will say to the devil, I resist you because I believe in this. I'm telling you, if we don't build people that way, their convictions will fall as you watch people's convictions fall constantly, and pretty soon they're out here worse off than they were. As far as their lifestyle, it's got to be here, folks. It's got to be here. It's got to come here as they read the Word of God, but it's got to end up here in the heart where, you know what, I'll die for this thing. You know, convictions I have, I'll die for. I will stand up at the wall, hold up my weapon, and say, all right, I resist you, devil. I'm just saying, things have got to be the result of being built in my life by seeing it in the Word of God. You must know why you believe what you believe. Or it's just brick and mortar. That's all it is. And when the enemy comes, you'll say, I don't need this wall that bad. We need to build. We need to build. Number two, we need to battle. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. You know the verse. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Battle. Boy, that's a battle. Amen. Amen. I mean, that is where the battle starts. We are literally, you know, the Bible says the gate of hell shall not prevail. I mean, it's us doing the attacking in this battle. I don't want you to get the idea that Nehemiah, you know, that's the whole Christian life, just standing on your wall defending yourself. No, no, no. We're on the attack. That's why the devil's so mad. We're on the attack next week with Bible School for the Shepherds. We're on the attack the next week with Bible School for our children. We're on the attack as our teens go off to conferences and camps. We're on the attack. We're on the move. And we're out there with the weapons drawn. Our sword, which is the Word of God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. We attack soul winning. We attack separation. By the way, that's the reason for the wall. To separate.
2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's an attack. That's battling. That's battling. By the way, in Ephesians 6, that's why we have armor. For that battle. Amen. Building. Battling. Got to battle. It's a war. We got to fight for our young people, as I preached last week. You know, you got to battle. A lot of people, they think that's all that Berean Baptist Church is about, is battling. That's not all it's about. But it's important. We do stand out because we do get right in the devil's face. We do stand out because our buses go all over the place. People knock on doors and they go to people and try to get people saved. We do stand out because we do give an altar call and we do tell people sin is unacceptable and we're really not afraid to name sin. There's a battle. We need to build. We need to battle. But you know, number three is important too. We need to bear burdens. And bearing burdens in the book of Nehemiah is simply cleaning house. It happens from within. The people that are bearing the burdens, they're cleaning up all the mess from the last defeat. They're removing all the blocks and all the burnt-up gates and cleaning up all the mess from the past defeat. They're cleaning house. And without that, as we learned a couple weeks ago, if nobody cleans up the mess, you can't build walls. It's impossible to build on rubbish. You got to deal with sin. It has to be dealt with. And it is dealt with from the inside. And without that, there's nothing to build on. There are many, you know, teenagers, you've started making some good decisions. But I promise you, you say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But if there's a chunk of rubbish in your life, you need to get right with God, then I suggest you get it right with God. You'll struggle building walls as long as there's rubbish there. You got to bear the burdens. But you know, the nice thing about this bearing burdens thing that I really like is it's just like building. Building's teamwork. Are you listening? It's just like battling. I mean, come on. They're building the wall, and it said, we read it, one was next to this one, and this one was next to this one, and this one was next to this one. And when they're battling, Nehemiah put them on the wall, and this one's next to this one, this one's next to this one, this one's next to this one. And you know what? Bearing burdens the same. You're not alone. You're not alone. I mean, bearing burdens, yes, we've got a lot of burdens. But we're not alone. If you don't get those burdens taken care of, you don't get those past things out of the way, and you don't get victory over them, and you don't get your troubles and your sorrows and your trials and get them dealt with, you're not going to build walls. I love Galatians 6. Let's go there. Galatians 6. You say, man, you're on the last point. Well, there is one more point, but it's not in my title. But it could have been. Galatians 6. And verse 1, what's an awesome passage. It would do us all well to read Galatians 6 over and over and over. Make it a habit. Maybe commit it to memory. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so here's a fellow with some bricks and mortar from a past defeat, and he's trying to clean up that mess. You know what? You can help him. Here's somebody with some sorrow, some pain, some anguish from something maybe from the past or something like that. You can help him. Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. We're so quick to criticize, so quick to point the finger. What about restoring people? Oh, it's so important. Look what he says. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's that talking about? That's talking about if Glenn Carpenter has a bunch of block and mortar and burn up wood and everything, I could probably go over there and help him clear some of that big stuff out of there. bearing burdens. Hey, you don't get rid of it, you don't build walls. Are you listening? It ain't going to happen. And again, just like the building, just like the battling, it's a teamwork. Bear ye one another's burdens. By the way, that's talking about big burdens where people need help. And you know what? People do need help.
Amen.
People do need help. They need encourage. They need exhortation. They need help. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. We're going to help them with their big burdens, but we're also going to help them to understand they can take care of some of their own little burdens. How's that? Well, 1 John 1:9 works. You can go to God and get some things cleaned out of your life. You can go to God and get some things cleaned up. Why? So you can build. Boy, it's so important. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And if somebody sows their life and they have some weeds in there, you know what? I can go in there and help them get rid of some of the weeds. You can go in there and help them clean up their garden. Nothing wrong with that. Why? Because we're trying to build walls. We're just trying to build walls. Would you admit we need as much help as we can get?
Amen.
Would you admit that we not only need as much help as we can get, we need as much room as we can have? We better clean up as much rubbish as we can, and it's going to take teamwork.
Right.
You know, the next time you want to gossip about somebody, instead of that, go to them and say, "Can I help you?" Don't go to anybody else. Don't tell anybody else. Just go to them and say, "Hey, I notice you're having some... Could I help you?" Not because you want to hear all the dirty stuff, but because you really want to help them clean up their garden.
Amen.
Why? Because we could use them.
Amen.
And as long as there's rubbish, they probably aren't going to be able to build a wall. Amen. That's why it's so important, this bearing burdens. You know, I call bearing burdens maintenance because the best walls have to be maintained. Amen. Amen. It's just keeping things taken care of. It's just God's people working together to help one another. Bearing large burdens, teaching people through counseling and praying for folks to bear their own small burdens and to deal with those things. Bearing burdens. And it's all teamwork. Building, battling, bearing burdens. But I come to the fourth thing, and that's simply balance. Just balance. And it's so easy in verse 18. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side. What a wonderful verse that is. To me, it's talking about having the Word of God where I've memorized the Word of God. I'm always ready. I'm always ready to give the Word of God. I'm always ready when Satan attacks, as Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and three times gave Scripture and three times the devil was not able to thwart that. But verse 18 says, he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Because that determined whether we'll build, we'll battle, or we'll bear burdens. Because the trumpeter moved the people wherever they needed to be. And the trumpeter made sure there was the right balance. The trumpeter made sure. And where was he? He was by Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was overseeing the whole thing, and whatever Nehemiah said, the trumpeter would direct the people by the blow of the trumpet. Now, I can't necessarily prove this, but the way I look at this is I think the trumpeter is the preacher standing next to the Lord. And without it, there's no balance. But I believe with all my heart, and as I read this, I got very, very much alone with the Lord, and I said, "Lord, help me to abide in you and to be by you like I need to be by you." So that when God says to trumpet, so that we have the balance, we can do it. And I trust you'd pray for me that I would be by Him. Because that's the key. As far as my part, it's to be by Him. Sure is a coincidence I happen to be preaching on Abide in Me in the Sunday school class. It's amazing how those things work out. But just real quick, some points under this. And I just want you to try to get a focus and see, because every one of you will think of situations where you've seen this happen. And I don't want you to dwell on that. I just want you to see how important it is, so important to have a balance in a ministry and in our lives. You know, capital A, if you build only as a church, if that's your focus, build, be bigger. Where there's no battling and there's no bearing burdens, then there would be no separation, there would be no soul winning, there would be no standards. It would be big, but it would be infiltrated by the enemy. It would be very obvious that the enemy has infiltrated. It would be earmarked by compromise for the sake of getting bigger. There would be all kinds of compromise. Teaching would be teaching. It'd be deep, but it'd be too deep. There'd be no maintenance. There'd be no cleaning house. There'd be no getting right with God. Sin would be general. It'd be named sin, but it would never have a name. Growth would be the result of a mixed multitude or proselytes. It would be very, very worldly. There'd be no resistance. That would be just building. By the way, the appeal there is no battle. There is an appeal. Look around. Those are the big churches today. No battle, no soul winning, no attack, no threat, no resistance. Worldliness comes in, fine, we'll plug it in. That's very popular today. No bearing burdens, no getting right with God, no altar call, no cleaning up. Everybody just does their own thing. Now I'm just saying, that's building by itself. We cannot, for the sake of big, ever get into that pattern. You have walls. Oh, we have beautiful walls. But what's going on inside? Same thing is going on the outside. There is no difference because the outside is inside. Build only. Very, very, very dangerous. Battle only. What's that? It's soul winning without discipleship. It lacks. There's a lack there. By the way, soul winning is wonderful, but you got to teach them. So important. I'm not saying, you know, where all the con. You'll never have me saying that. Let me tell you something. I think you ought to win everybody to Jesus. I think you ought to tell everyone about the Lord. But I think we need to disciple them. But battle. You know, battling only. That's all. And there are so many ministries that are like that. There are people like that. It lacks a balanced teaching. You know, some of these folks that battle only, I mean, they're just always fighting. They're afraid of too much truth because they want their people to be robots. And it's a us versus them mentality. And most of the people don't have a clue why they believe what they believe. Many of them don't have a clue. Every message is on soul winning, separation, and sin. There's not comfort. There's not restoration. So busy in the battle, there's no growth, and it won't be long. It'll die from within. Churches all over America like that. I found a couple of guys on the internet and some of the messages. You know, just hard preaching. I like it. I like that hard preaching. But it's like us versus everybody. So I researched a couple and checked out their churches, and they're very, very small, and I was not surprised at that. Because there's no growth. Because if you just battle all the time, you're not building. No growth. By the way, you keep listening to that, you won't grow either. You can't just have a battle mentality. You cannot do it. You will die from the inside. We cannot have that kind of mentality. I'm thankful. I'm glad Berean's the way it is. But again, we have to have a balance. Building, battling, But then if you bear burdens only. And again, there are churches like that. They're small, close-knit group. They care for each other, but they don't care about the lost. Very close-knit because they're bearing birth. They're working with each other only, but everybody else is going to hell. And the enemy will probably not attack them too much because he'll let them clean up the mess. And eventually, he'll take over. And I've seen it over and over. No reason to build because they're very content with their little group doing their little thing. And you can't have bearing burdens only. You see, three things, building, battling, and bearing burdens. We got to do all three. Let me just close with this. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 4. And verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach to build. Preach to battle, preach to bear burdens. Preach what? Preach reproof. What's that? Reproof is building. Reproof is teaching and reteaching. Some things need to be retaught. Amen. I know I was taught a certain way till I was 17, got saved. I had to be retaught some things. I had to be built. I had to be rebuilt. Amen. We had to be reborn. It only makes sense we'd have to be rebuilt. I had to have my thinking rearranged. Amen? And I had to be reproved. I had to be taught and retaught. Preach, reproof, build. That's teaching and reteaching. By the way, he says to do it how? With long-suffering. What is long-suffering? Long-suffering is being patient with people. I'm going to tell you, as you're building people, you got to be patient. You have to be patient. Sunday school teachers, you have to be patient. Right? Bus captains, you know what I'm talking about. You have to be so patient. Long-suffering. But what else? How else do we do it? We do it with all long-suffering and what? Doctrine. The truth. The Scripture, the Word of God. How do you build people? You build them with patience and with the truth, the Word of God. Preach building. Reprove. Second thing he said is preach rebuke. Rebuke. What's that? That's battling. Anytime you rebuke, you're fighting. Those are fighting words. You're not going to tell me. Yeah, that's rebuking. By the way, that's the trumpeter. Has to sound that trumpet. Has to sound the trumpet to reprove. Has to sound the trumpet to rebuke. Battling. Attacking the world, the flesh, the devil. Attacking the devil at his gates. Winning lost people to Christ. How do we preach rebuke? With long-suffering. Yeah. It's battling with doctrine, truth. If it's not for the truth, I'm not going to fight. There's nothing. No reason to fight for error. And then preach exhortation. Preach the word. He says reprove, rebuke, exhort. What's that? Exhort is bearing burdens. What is it? It's lifting up the fallen. It's just helping them clean up their mess. Helping them so they can build. Exhort. How do you exhort? With long suffering. That means you got to put up with a lot. I love the word long suffering. Patient with people. There's patience, and that's patience in the Bible usually is talking about trials and difficulties. Long-suffering is patience with people. I'm not sure which is worse. I'm not sure which is hardest. But I do know that when the trumpet sounds and the organization is not going quite like the trumpeter thinks it should or like the leader thinks it should, there's going to have to be some patience. And there's going to have to be doctrine and truth. to make it all happen. Reprove, building. Rebuke, battling. Exhort, bearing burdens. Lifting up the fallen. And all three. That not one of them is more important than the other. And as soon as I was done with this, it hit me. And I stopped and I thought, well, I wonder how I've done this year in my trumpet. And so I looked up sermons and I found in 2008, building 17, battling 7, bearing 15. And I said, phew, I'm glad that worked out the way it did, at least. Could have had a few more battling messages. So I'm working on a couple of those. But, you know, we have to have a balance. You know, look at your life. Look at these areas right here. You know, you say, well, preacher, I'm a builder. Well, you're going to have to be a battler, too, or you're going to build, the building will be knocked down. Yeah, but preacher, I'm a bearer of burdens. I can help people. And I can. Well, you better start building, too. And you better battle, too. All three things are crucial in the Christian life. All three things are crucial in the church. All three things are crucial, as we see in the story of Nehemiah. If I'm going to occupy till Jesus comes, I'm going to have to do all three things. I'm going to have to be organized and build, battle, bear burdens, and we're going to have to have the balance of those things to do what God wants us to do. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.